All right, I'm going to start reading it. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. Glory to God. All right, we've been teaching on a subject today that we call living in the supernatural. And this today's message, I'm continuing with the title, Have Faith in God. But I also want to put a little imitate God in there as well, because both of these I'm talking about today. Now, as we look at this, we have talked about the fact that we have been sent here to not do his work, but to finish his work. Big difference. So we're the, I like to look at us as a harvesting generation. We're the ones that are coming in here, and now I don't know whether there's a lot of people coming behind us, but I'm gonna assume nobody's coming behind me. And I'm gonna be here to help wrap this thing up, praise God. All right, now, as we've done that, we started talking about the supernatural. We defined it, talked about what it is, and that in this, that Jesus is our role model. Jesus is a sample son. He is the pattern by which we should pattern our lives. And he came, the Bible calls him by revelation of Paul, the last Adam. So he's kind of showing you how that first Adam operated. And God gave the first Adam dominion over all the earth, fish of the sea, fowl of the air, cattle, all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He didn't give him dominion over people. He gave him dominion over creeps. And look what it says here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Now, this is why I call that imitate God. Because we need to see how and what Jesus did. Because he said, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do. So he's expecting us to do what he did and greater. So now Jesus taught the supernatural. So the results were supernatural, because that's what he taught. And if you look at it, how he was born supernatural. An angel come to you and tell you, you know, hail, you're going to have a baby. And I'm talking with the women now. And you don't know a man. You know what I mean? Virgin and so forth. And here's this angel telling you that? Or somebody telling you? I mean, that's, brothers and sisters, there's some faith involved in that somewhere. So he was born supernaturally. And sometimes what happens when people start working for God, they say, man, you know, I was doing all right. I didn't have all these problems before I started, got into this. Well, you were born in the middle of a war. And there's a destiny, or there is a destiny for you that God has planned that you are to fulfill, but you can't fulfill it except by faith. Are you following what I'm saying? And your destiny is faith defined. So you can't fulfill it except by faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So when you were born again, you were born by grace, and you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It was a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us would boast. So you didn't work for it. You received it by grace, that Jesus died for you. And you received what he did, and the moment you did and believed and received it and acted on it, a miracle took place inside of you. So you are born by a miracle. And you are born from a miracle realm. You are born from the eternal heaven's atmosphere. And as you're down here, he said, "Pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? On earth as it is in heaven. That you are here creating heaven on earth. I'm not talking about anything natural now. I'm talking about all this supernatural. So here's a church. The church was started by a miracle in the book of Acts. And now the church has been run by miracles or supernatural. And you're going to have to leave here supernaturally. All of a sudden, in a twinkling of an eye, boop, gone. You're going to be caught up in the middle of the air. Boy, if that ain't supernatural, I don't know what is. So my point to you is that your whole walk is to be supernatural. But what has happened is intellectualism has crowded in the church. And instead of preaching the manifestation of the power of God, many times people are preaching medicine. And so what we got to do is understand, I understand medicine. That's fine. That's fine. But we got to preach miracles. Say amen to this. And this is what we've got to get back to, because all of a sudden we're in this place where God has been left out. We watch too much TV or something. And God has been left out, and now we got marriage problems. God is not even in it. And God can fix stuff that can't be fixed naturally. That's what he does. He's a repairer. He's a carpenter. He fixes things. And here's a woman, she had gone to all physicians, but she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. But when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his clothes. For she said, "If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole." Touch Jesus' clothes, virtue flowed, power of God hit her. She knew in her body she'd be made well. She sat down, told him all the truth, witnessed, testified, probably took two or three hours to, you know, tell him all about it. And then Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now notice, no natural medicine, no natural cure, no natural knowledge of the physicians could get her made whole. But what could get her made whole was one touch in Jesus' life. That the supernatural had to take place. And I'm just telling you, we come into a place right now that the supernatural is demanded more and more. And that's why you're seeing people more and more go into the occult, because they know there's something beyond what's natural here that can come in here and help solve these problems that they've got. But the devil is trying to lead them to his source. But you're about to go to God's source and show people that God is much more powerful than anything else they could go to. Say amen to that. All right, so in this, knowledge of God, we said that as we get it, one of the things that it brings, well, let me just start here. So we've talked about the God factor. Then we're talking about some of the things and attributes that you and I have that the world doesn't have. And we talked about even the gifts of the Spirit. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And if you can put the fruit up there, that's Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 22. And in Galatians 5:22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, faithfulness, that's what that should be, faithfulness, that God makes you faithful. Remember Peter said, Lord, I don't care if everybody leaves you, I'll never leave you. Y'all remember when Peter made that statement? Well, a little pressure came in on him. And they said, you were with him, weren't you? He said, no, I wasn't with the man. Then another one came and said, hey, you one of those Galileans, weren't you with him? He said, no, I just told the man who came in here before that I wasn't with him. Then somebody came and told him again, said, oh, you were with him. The Bible says he swore and cursed. I think they used both terms so they didn't want you to miss that any kind of way. Now, notice what he did. He denied the Lord. But notice what happened when he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice what happened when he got his heart changed, filled with the power of God. All of a sudden, they had him up before the Sanhedrin, and he said, hey, wait a minute. We want you to stop preaching this Jesus. He said, wait a minute. I got to obey God rather than man. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, I'm only saying that because we're talking about here, put those up there again. We're talking about here, these fruit, faith, keep going. And then meekness is teachableness. Because when you come out of the world system, sometimes you're hard to be taught because you got so much pride. But meekness breaks you down so that you can be taught. And then temperance. Temperance is something I'm working on a daily basis. And come on now, all y'all working on something. Tell me. And against such there's no law. Now my point to you is they're working on that. And then the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes in. He's now the teacher, guide. He's an advocate. He's also one who is a standby. He's a strengthener, so forth and so on. The Holy Spirit does this. And a lot of times what has happened in churches, they say, well, we don't teach on the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is not part of our doctrine. Well, you're not part of your doctrine. This is basic. It's because the power of God is what's needed so that we can finish his work. See, one demonstration is worth 1,000 sermons. You can do more with miracles in 1 year than you can preaching the sermons and just the letter of the word in 100 years. And the enemy doesn't want you to demonstrate it. That's what he's trying to stop. Because you're trying to convince somebody that your gospel is better than their gospel. And see, without demonstration, the word was never supposed to be preached without it. Without demonstration, you just got another opinion. But the idea about the gospel is I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is designed to change a person's mind because it'll not only give them the word, but it'll show them the works. Put on up there, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, my speech and my preaching, Apostle Paul now, was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Keep going. That your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is the Apostle Paul now. He's saying, wait a minute. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to demonstrate this. Because that's what Jesus did. The mentor, the one who's teaching us. This is what he said. He said one time over in John chapter 10, if I do not the works of my Father, don't even believe it. Don't even believe it, folks. So I'm just saying we sometimes have preaching contests. Who can hoop the best? Well, what is that? You hooping and people getting divorced. You hooping and people still sick. You hooping. Now, I'm not coming down on the hoopers. I'm just saying you had hooped long enough. Now you need to get back to teaching the word of God and demonstrating the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, don't send me no letters. Don't get mad at me because it ain't gonna help you. All right? Now, my point to you is that the way God has taken us now is there's no more limits. There's no more limits. Why? Jesus said this. He said, it's not me. It's the Father in me. He's doing the work.
No, you didn't catch me now. It's the Father in me. He's doing the work. I'm not doing the work. He's doing the work. I'm saying the words. He's doing the work. My job is to believe that he's going to do his job. And if I can believe, all things have become possible. Say amen to that. So I'm saying that same thing for you right now. It's not you that's doing it. He's doing it. He does the work. All right, let's look at a little bit of that here. Let's go to 2 Kings, please, chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. Praise the Lord. You know, I got to bring it on. Yeah. I mean, we've had too many preaching contests and choir contests and so forth, and that's all right, but somewhere let's demonstrate something. I believe you can get that choir so anointed that when they sing, healing will break out in half. I'm saying we hadn't thought supernaturally. See, we're still thinking down here, low light, but we got to get up in the high light now. Look what it says here. And look what it said. This is Elijah and Elisha. As you know, Elijah was a prophet and Elisha was his protege. He's following him around, serving him, so forth. So somebody said about 20 years. He wasn't rushing trying to get in the pulpit. Look at verse 12. And Elijah saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Glory to God. And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now he took that mantle and he hit those waters, and that thing, poof, that thing split just like the Red Sea, just like the River Jordan. Boom, it split, and he walked over dry shod. Now, my point to you is he didn't ask where is Elijah, because Elijah just got picked up in a heavenly helicopter and taken on up. But here, he said, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Smith Wigglesworth? Where is the God of Oral Roberts? Where is the God? See what I'm saying? Because it wasn't the person, it was the God that was on them. You got to hear what I'm saying now. See, and if it was God, then you need to reset your limits, because God can do anything. God, there's nothing too hard for God. Can make anything happen. God can turn it around in one day. God can put $50 million in your bank account. God, I'm talking about if it's God. And what has happened is somehow we think we got to do this. That's not your job. Your job is to believe that God will do his job. Now, y'all follow what I'm saying here? So I'm saying this is where we got to go. And in Moses, you know Moses, he caught Moses with his choke point. Moses said, you know, people want some meat. He said, well, just tell them, you know, that I'm going to give them some. And not only tell them I'm going to give them some, turn over there, please. Let's go over to Numbers, in Numbers chapter 11. We've gone over here before, but I want to get it in your system. Why? Because I got to change the image that you have of you and God. Because you got to know with God, all things are possible. And I'm not sure you know all things are possible. I'm sure you quote the scripture, but I'm not sure you know that. I got to get this thing from your head down into your heart, because I want it to be so when the obstacle come, that you know that you got a God that can help you high hurdle all the way to the finish line. You know that. Look what it says here in Numbers chapter 11. He said this. He said, now sanctify them, because tomorrow you're going to eat flesh. Verse 18. Let's go to 19. You shall not eat flesh 1 day or 2 days or 5 days, neither 10 days or 20 days, but a whole month till it come out of your nose. And it'll be loathsome to you, because you've despised the Lord. Now, what does despise mean? Despised means simply a low opinion of. People have had a low opinion of God. And the way they're going to get their opinion up is you. You're going to go out there and demonstrate to God who can turn every situation around. Say amen to that. Amen. And the thing about it, you got to have confidence in this God. Remember, confidence is a very interesting thing because the enemy is after your confidence. Confidence is the devil's number one target in your battles. Confidence. He wants your confidence. Confidence is something that you need so that which is rooted in righteousness. Lord, have mercy. I need to slow down here. I'm getting wound up in this thing here. So anyway, what happened here? In verse 21, and Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, 600,000 men of 20 years and older. Now they all got families. So you got about 3 million people out here. And God's telling me I'm going to feed them every day some meat without refrigerators, deep freeze, smokehouse, anything else out there but some hot sun. And I'm telling you what God can do. And so next thing you know, he said, verse 22, Moses starts to try to figure out how God's going to do this. And that's when you start losing ground. When you try to figure out how God, who made you, is going to meet your problem, make that problem that you have go away. Verse 22, shall the flocks and the herds be slain to them or suffice for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? You're going to see now whether my word will come to pass or not. Say amen to that. Amen. See, he's not asking Moses to do this. He's just asking Moses to have faith in God that God can do what he said. Folks, what he said is this. By his stripes, you are healed. What he says is many of the afflictions of the righteous, but I will deliver them out of them all. What he said is that the angels of the Lord encamp around about you and they will deliver you. What he said is draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What he said is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if it been any sins, I'll wipe them out. Say no more limits. Look what they did. Turn over to Exodus chapter 32, please. Exodus chapter 32. Y'all got me preaching harder than I wanted to preach. Somebody needs this. All right, look what it said, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down on the mount, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron, unto Aaron. They said to him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know where he's but become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received them in their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool. After he had made it a molten calf, he said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. So what are they doing now? They're building this calf out there. Boy, that thing made God mad too, you know that? They built this calf. Now where'd the calf come from? Came from Egypt. How did he get out there? Came inside of them. And I'm telling you, people come in here sometime, and they come in here, and they say, well, you know, I'm not sure I like that church. They don't have no Sunday school. Honey, you done had enough of that Sunday school. You need more than a quarterly to hold you. So my point to you is, Because you done brought that stuff from over there and brought it in here. And I'm gonna tell you now that we kicking over sacred cows up in here. We tearing them rascals down. Why? Because they kept you in the place where you are. You've come in here, and now we got to get the old image of God out. Because when the wrong image is in there, you interpret the scripture that way. You read Job and say God was testing him. God wasn't testing Job. God don't need to test Job. God knew exactly what Job would do. God knows the end of your life from the beginning. He knows exactly what you're going to do at every point. Say amen to that. Job opened the door to the devil's attack in his life. And then his four friends came and tried to convince him that he had sinned. It's a problem in his life, and that's where it came from. Job didn't do anything consciously except try to serve God. But there was some ingredient in there or some knowledge that Job didn't have that the devil got in on. Say amen to that. So my point to you is, in that cycle, God did teach Job some things. But the reason why I want to take you to that is because that's what the enemy's after. He's after your confidence. He's after your confidence in the fact that God is going to do what he said for you. And folks, when you come into God, you got to accept the fact that you do not have two natures. You are not an old sinner saved by grace. And I said, you are not an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner. Now you've been saved. If you got two natures, you're a freak. And so what God has done is he's made you the righteousness of God in him, and righteousness cannot fellowship with iniquity. And that's why you got to keep condemnation out of your life, because you've got to stay in faith, because faith is what you need for the anointing, and the anointing is what you need to have victory. So I'm saying God has planned for you to have victory, so you're going to have this understanding that there is no condemnation in your life. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and 1 John chapter 3. I'm preaching hard and you saying amen right now. I'm telling you, the devil is through messing with you. When you get up in the morning, he's going to say, oh, Lord, she's up again. It's time for us to stop running from problems and running from the enemy and not answering the phone because you think a bill collector's on it and all that. That is low life. That is a part of you that is God does not want in your life. Say amen to that. You, anything, pick up the phone and tell him, said, hey, I decree this bill is paid in full, and it's paid in full by first of next month. And it's paid in full. I'm not going to pay you no more payments. The bill is paid in full. Now, I'm saying say something. I'm saying walk in your royalty. Walk. A king decrees things. Say amen to that. Now, I'm saying talk and act supernatural. Stop trying to act natural. The Bible says the natural man, put it up there on the board. I want you to put it up there. Put it up, 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 2 and verse 14. Put it up on the board. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. People who are not... See, the church has been crowded out by intellectualism. And so we got to cut that out. We got to get back to God. And if you're going to get back to God in the kingdom, you're going to get to supernatural. You're going to have to know that God has a way of solving your problem. That there was a solution before your problem ever occurred. And the solution is in the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is already in the promise of God. God can take care of you and fix your little old financial situation. Who do you think God is? Say amen to that. Now, I'm talking to all of you now. Now, you remember, one of your characteristics is meekness. That means you ought to be teachable. So if you're looking at me, well, how does he know? I know because I'm your preacher, and I'm the one that God sent here to tell you what the real deal is. Isn't this wonderful? Now, everybody may not like this and may not like me, but I don't care. Because I'm going on vacation. I'm going to tell you that right now. You standing between me and my vape. But amen. But I'm going to bring it to you. But I just want you to know, when we're trying to get rid of them calves, some of them calves start calfing. They start fighting back, man. You got to get rid of them things. You got to throw that thing out. If you see something in the Bible and you know that you've been believing something that's not in there, get that out. I'm talking about some of you in here should be multimillionaires by now. But the enemy has tried to keep you in the intellect. Thank God for the intellect, but that's not supposed to lead you. What's supposed to lead you is the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He knows the destiny that he has for you, and he knows every trap that the enemy's tried to set up to keep you from it. But I decree you're going to make it to your destiny. You're going to make it in 46 months. In here right now. All right, what did I tell you to turn? Romans 8. Put it up there. Romans 8, chapter 1, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation with them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what?
Spirit.
Say no condemnation.
No condemnation.
All right, now this is the key, because condemnation can come in, and what condemnation is after is after your confidence. It's after your faith in God that God will hear and answer what you have prayed for or whatever have you. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
And we got to know, wait a minute, that God knew what you did before you did. Let me take care of this now. I got this. I got some junior preachers in here. Okay. That's all right, sister. Go ahead. Just preach it. Praise God. All right, here's a statement you want to write down. Your past is not relevant to God. Your past is not relevant to God. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying amen, because you and I have done things in our past, but God does not want that to stop the miracle-working power of your future. And so he has made a provision for your past. You got what I'm saying? And so he said in Galatians chapter 3, don't turn there. He said in verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. And you'll see that Jesus came in that synagogue preaching the blessing. And the only thing that the Pharisees was preaching was the law. Here is Jesus. He goes to heal somebody. And then they're going to jump up on a person because he's carrying his bed and say, you can't carry your bed on the Sabbath. Now, the man been by the pool trying to get healed for 38 years, and they're going to get on him about a bed. They're not going to even recognize the fact that here's the man. Thank God he got healed. Say amen to that. Do you know there are people whose mind have been so affected that they don't even want folk to get healed? I mean, really, they're in God move and so forth. Well, why'd he heal them? He could have healed so-and-so down there. She ain't even living right. Well, wait a minute. He understood that. But what he did is he's doing things. Glory to God. I ain't going to explain that. You know, I'm just saying the perfectionist looks for sin in every situation. They don't look for mercy and grace, but they look who sinned. Now, you got to get what I'm saying here. Folks, you can't tell me nothing. When you see the goodness of God, it'll draw you to repentance. When you see how good God is, that despite you've been living like a dog and God jumps up and heal you of AIDS, let me tell you, you're going to serve him. You're going to jump up, say, jack man up, telling you I didn't deserve this, but he did it for me anyway. Thank God for it. That's what I'm talking about. And the law killeth. If you don't have the grace, if you don't have the knowledge of how good he is. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Over in John chapter 9, they were put verse 1 up there. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which is blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Isn't there something here? The works of God be made manifest in him. Notice, they were thinking that was the work of God, to make the man blind. Jesus had said, no, let me correct your theology. That wasn't God. God is over here. He's the healing part of that. All right, let me try to finish this. So the enemy tries to attack your confidence. Turn back to one more place. Turn back to 1 John and chapter 5, please. 1 John and chapter 5. Glory to God. I said 1 John chapter 5, please make it 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Now, there's a lot of other things I have here that I could teach today, but we're just going to give you the nuts and bolts of it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I'm not reading that right now. I'm reading 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have what? Confidence toward God. And that's what you want. Faith is nothing but confidence. All right? So righteousness restores what mankind lost in the fall. Restores faith, restores peace, and all these kinds of things. Jesus was your substitute. He was the one that actually paid the price for everything that you and I deserve to suffer. He paid that price. Now, again, the church is coming into a place where God wants miracles to come. And I'm saying that if we want the supernatural, we've got to teach the supernatural. And so you see where he said, where is the God of Elijah? Now, even when it talks about oil, that they used oil in the testaments. Matter of fact, turn over to Mark's gospel and chapter 12, please. Mark's gospel, chapter 12. Now, what am I doing now? I'm here talking to you about getting yourself to a place where you're thinking supernaturally. I said Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 6, pardon me. Mark chapter 6. Glory to God. Mark chapter 6. Let me know when you get to Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, and look at verse 12. He says, oh my goodness. Do I have Mark chapter 6? Yeah, I do have it. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils. And what did they do? The anointed with oil, many that were sick. And what did he do? God healed them. Now, the oil, I don't think it's so much the type of oil you use, because I believe you can use some 30 weight motor oil. Now, this is me now, if you don't have any other kind of oil. Okay? But get some oil and you anoint things, and when you do, no devil in hell can resist the authority that's loaded in the anointing oil that you use in the name of Jesus. Say amen to that. It's a mystery packaged in oil. And there is no sickness or disease or any kind of malady that can escape the power of anointing oil. It will cause you to walk in absolute dominion. Say amen to that. I believe that oil is so strong that you could pull a little out of your purse as a lady and somebody, God lying to you, checking on him, and he'll tell the truth. Say, wait a minute. Just tell him, stand there just for a minute. Now say that again. Now wait a minute. I'm thinking supernaturally. Come on now. I'm not thinking like I'm trying to analyze this and bring it all. Because when that lady came in that church that time on Lake and Pulaski when we had started there, and she crying and saying, hey, the drug dealers have taken over our block, and they come out at 12 noon and come out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, don't leave till after midnight, our kids can't play, so forth and so on. We're all terrorized, we're in our, you know. And she said, Pastor, what can I do? Well, I said, get in a circle, let's pray. Now, I'm not asking myself what to do. God knows what to do, because it's not me, it's him. He's gonna do the work. But I know he sends us places, and wherever he sends us, he expects us to take control of it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Where are my notes on that? Lord, have mercy. God's plan is wherever the soles of your feet shall tread upon, bring it into subjection. So we prayed, and the Lord said, take oil, give her the bottle, and tell her to pour it from one end of the block down to the other. Now, did that make sense? No, it wasn't designed to make sense. It was designed that you have a meek spirit and you follow his teachable instructions. And as you do that, releasing your confidence in God, that God was going to do what he said. And he said that you call on him and he will answer. Are you following what I'm saying? She took that, because when you're desperate, you just take it. And she took it and poured it all the way down the street. Now, what happened 3 or 4 days later, she came back. She said they came for an hour the next day and left and never came back. Well, what happened? It was a strong man down there that was trying to hold that property. But a stronger man came on the scene. It was the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was released when you took the cap off of that bottle and spread it down that road. And he'll be released in your house. When you take a little dab and dab it over the door, the front door, that no mess will come in there from now on. You're gonna dab it on there. All right, let's keep going here. Let's go all the way over to Acts, please. Acts chapter 19. I know y'all laughing. Some of y'all laughing at me now, but that's all right. I know my God, and they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Say amen to that. So we are going to have confidence in God. We're going to have faith in God. And oh, by the way, we're going to act like Jesus. We're going to act like we never sinned in our lives. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 2, he said, why are you looking at me? I've hurt no man and I've never offended any man. He was the same one that was hauling them off to jail and consenting for Christians to be killed. I'm telling you, Paul didn't even look back, because he got a hold of the fact that your past is irrelevant to God. Now, this is for you. Your past is irrelevant to God. He said, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Now, if he said that, take it by faith, praise God. And don't let the devil have anybody to talk to you and tell you anything different. You stay with what the book says. They may remember something, but they remember that old man. They remember that flesh acting up and all of that. But what you're going to remember is Jesus on the cross and the blood of Jesus being spread for you and how God sees you as his son. He sees you and he does not remember anything like that. Now you start, if you want the results of Jesus, you got to think like Jesus. It says, let this mind be in you. Well, Jesus, in his mind, he never sinned. And he was powerful in the works. I'm saying, look at me. I know I got some bad road, but guess what? I ain't looking back. I'm looking ahead. I got a job to do for God. Now, I'm not talking about some little sin like you curse somebody out. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about down there in the gutter. I'm talking about stuff you ain't even told your best friend about. I'm talking about mess that's shown up mess. Well, whatever it is, don't think it's thrown in the lake of fire. God made it so that it doesn't exist. When you get no condemnation in your life, no guilt and no more shame, you're gonna see the righteousness of God rise up in you. And the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. But not only that, you'll see that righteousness will flow through you. You're gonna see that faith is gonna flow like a flood. Things that have resisted you in the past gonna give you up. And when you come in somewhere, people gonna step back because they gonna feel the power of the kingdom of God flowing through you. You look what happened to Jesus. They came to arrest him. And they said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, it is I. And when he said that, they fell back and fell on the ground. I'm telling you, they're going to, you moving into a new level right now. Boy, I can feel this. It's so deep in me, I can't hardly preach this, but it's true. I said it's true. All right, let's just look at this last part. Sit down. Let's just look at this last part and we'll be done. And some of y'all been dealing with finances. Let me tell you what's coming on you. A blank check anointing. All right, let's look at this. No more limits. No more limits. With God, all things are possible. He said it over there in Genesis chapter 18. Is anything too hard for God? I said, is anything too hard for God? Nothing. I don't care what situation you have, you're going to rise up. You're going to take a different attitude about it. You're going to start being bold as a lion. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, God's got something for you. The enemy has been trying to cut you off for years, but you just about to be loosed right now. You know, there's a scripture, I was trying to find it. It's over in Proverbs in chapter 30, and Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 29, he says this. He says, Glory to God. Hallelujah. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away from anything. A lion doesn't turn away from anything because he's got the image of king. He thinks he's the king of the jungle, and there is no animal that a lion will turn away from. I'm telling you, you are a part of the lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the righteousness of God. You are as bold as a lion. Say amen to that. And from this day forward, you ain't backing down from anything, anybody, no matter what they say. And let me show you one more scripture, because I didn't show this to the other groups, but I'm going to show it to you, because you need it. This is found in Psalm 130. Put it on the board when I speak it. Psalm 130 and verse 3. It says this: if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? Notice what he's saying here. Lord, wait a minute. If you keep track of everything we did wrong, nobody will be able to stand. The Lord doesn't keep track of all of that. He wants you, the moment you miss it, you get down and confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive it and then cleanse you and make you righteous again. This is your day. This is not a ticket to sin. This is a ticket for miracles. This is a time that you're going to be flowing with miracles by just speaking things, and they're going to come to pass. Now, let me just show you this last piece, and I'm going out of here. Look what it says here. Are you with me? Are you ready? Look what it says in verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. What am I telling you? Miracles. I'm saying that there's different levels. There's some oil you can use. There's somebody that can lay hands on you, you can use. But if you can't get there, you can pull a handkerchief. Come on, you got to hear what I'm saying. I've got an account of a man who said that someone came to his ministry, he's overseas, and he said they had a relative, a lady, that had gone mad, out of her mind. And he said that God spoke to him to send the handkerchief. So he took words and spoke them into the handkerchief concerning this woman's freedom. And then God said, tell him to take the handkerchief and then wipe it over the face of the person who has gone mad. So he took it, the man took it, went, and when the woman saw him, who he was coming to minister to, she grabbed for the handkerchief, but he took it back. Then he took it and put it on her face and wiped her face. Instantly, the woman was healed. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that this is not an intellectual exercise. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it, to the natural man, is foolish. This won't hold weight in some of the intellectual places that we know. But nevertheless, I said nevertheless, you can send healing in a handkerchief and deliverance and won't have to call out a single devil. Just take that handkerchief and just put it on the side of their head, and the anointing that's in that cloth will drive out every devil that's in there. Folks, I remember Charles and Francis Hunter, who were working miracles. They said, well, this is what we're going to do. They taught teaching about this. And this lady came up. She said, listen, I don't have a handkerchief, but my husband is mean. He so forth and so on. And you need to get him saved. So here is a package of chewing gum because he likes to chew. And what happened? They came and they took it, blessed it, spoke in it, released the anointing on it. That night he asked his wife, you got any gum? Say, yeah, I just happen to have a couple of sticks. I believe I got what you want right here. He started chewing it. Tears start coming to his eye. He said, I believe I want to be saved. Where is the church house? I'm telling you, this kind of stuff is not for the natural mind. It's for the supernatural. You've been made for this hour. The anointing of God is on you to bring forth deliverance for every person. No matter how bad it looks, God can turn it around. Give the Lord a praise and a thanksgiving. Take a seat.